CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
Hello and welcome to the CoOptiCast, episode 24 for Sunday, July 26th, 2009. I am Mike Katsoufrakis, and I am unfortunately not accompanied by my usual cohort, Nick Paleo, but in his place, I have brought three, count them, three of the other staff members of CoOptimus, Jason Love, Mark Ali, or Ali, or however the hell you say your last name.
And
Jim McLaughlin, a.k.a. Iron Sights. So we're just going to roll into everything this week. So I'm going to start by asking Jason what he's been playing.
I've been playing a lot of Splosion Man since it came out last Wednesday, and we actually had the co-op night last Thursday, and the developers from Twisted Pixel Games joined us for a bit of that. It's a lot of fun. It's the co-op, and it's really geared towards, you know, using the other people in it to kind of help you out progress through the levels. The one thing, and hopefully they're going to get this fixed soon, is that there is a bit of a lag on the online co-op feature, so I'm pretty sure it's something that they could probably fix with a patch or something like that, and hopefully they'll update it soon. The other things I've been playing are Fallout 3. I've gotten back into that, and first time I played through it, I played through pretty much neutral slash good, so this time I'm going very evil, and actually I blew up Megaton this weekend. That was cool to watch, but felt a little bad about doing it. The other thing I've been playing has been Force Unleashed. The Jedi Temple map pack dropped. It was the deal of the week, and it was only for 400 Microsoft points. So I picked that up, played through it. It's pretty fun. Nice little addition to the game.
Jason, I gotta tell you, you should never feel bad about blowing up Megaton.
Well, yeah, because you get Moira there, right? Oh, gee, she's all like, I'm still a ghoul.
She's like, oh, you know, I want you to go do a bunch of crazy bullshit for me to write this book, see? don't feel bad about that, because the one person that you really want to die doesn't.
It's true. It's true.
Mark.
Yes, sir.
What have you been playing?
Well, like Jason, Thursday night we played Explosion Man for the co-op night, and I, too, was very impressed with the game. It's surprisingly quite a bit more challenging than I thought it would be. And I was kind of talking about this to you guys before the podcast, but usually when you play a co-op game, you know, if one player is not quite as experienced as the other one is, or doesn't have quite as much, I guess, skill or whatever, the other player can kind of, you know, overcome that and it just kind of drag them along with you. But in Explosion Man, there's so many things where each player has to do the same motions, and it's so precise and it has to be happen like that. You know, there's a lot of times where my kid was able to do things that I wasn't able to do, and so we ended up turning it off and putting it away. But it's really been fun, though. It's charming and kind of a fun, really the cool art style, and the kid likes it, and we had a good time playing together locally.
A lot of pop culture references in that, too.
Yeah, it's just cool. It's just cool. Playing quite a bit of Magic Duels of the Planeswalkers, trying to unlock more decks in that. We played some of the new Transformers Revenge of the Fallen game. We've played through most of the campaign already, but the live, being able to play, there's just the fight, the battles online has been kind of okay. It's competitive, of course, but it's still all right. And then I got Guitar Hero Smash Hits from Gamefly this week, and it's been fun, more for nostalgia purposes than anything else. I mean, it's the same stuff I played for a while, and I was really kind of surprised how different some of the original tracks sounded than the covers that were on the previous games, but I guess that's just part of playing the game more than I've listened to the songs on the radio or whatever. And on the go, I've been playing Retro Game Challenge and enjoying it immensely. That's it for me.
Excellent title.
Oh, that's fun. And talk about having a lot of nostalgia and a lot of, you know, pop culture references all wrapped in there. It's a lot of fun. Right. I just cracked up when they started talking about the Power Glove knockoff today. That was pretty fun. So it's a good game.
It is. It's really great. Jim?
Like Jason, I actually have played through The Force Unleashed, but unlike Jason, this was my first time. I haven't even gotten to the DLC, but I blasted through that in a couple days. I've gone back to Left 4 Dead for a little while. I've been playing quite a bit of Battlefield 1943. Still kind of plugging through Zelda Twilight Princess. And while I've got the Wii powered up, I blasted through as much as I could of Indiana Jones and the Staff of Kings. And on the run, I've been playing Atari Classics Evolved on my PSP.
Sounds good. As for me, I've been playing Overlord 2, a lot of WoW on the PC when I can fit it in, and even though I think on this very podcast I may have sworn I would never touch it, but I have played Call of Duty World at War, and well, I don't think it's as good as the Infinity Ward offerings. It is a very competent game. It's pretty fun. It's actually kind of nice to go back to World War II, even though I thought it wouldn't be. But the heart of that game is definitely the zombie mode. I could really care less about anything happening in the single player stuff, but zombie mode gets an A+ from me.
See, we traded games is what we did. You sent me your Left 4 Dead, and I sent you my World at War.
That's right. Actually, I think Nick sent me World at War, but, you know. Okay, so let's move on to This Week in Co-op. Right now, as we speak, the San Diego Comic-Con is coming to a close, and we actually had a few good pieces of news come out of there. The Behemoth was displaying Game 3, which is, you know, completely mind-boggling. I still can't tell what's going on in that. But in the midst of all that madness, they have announced that they are bringing Castle Crashers to the PlayStation Network. There was no ETA given on it, but seeing as it's going to be a straight port, I can't imagine it should take them too long. It's just fantastic that that game's going to PSN, because it should have been there in the first place, if you ask me. It's one of the best co-op games out there, for my money anyway, and letting more people play it is always a great thing. And it has trophy support, so if you like trophies, you can, appease your god. Also from Comic-Con, Naughty Dog was in town, and they showed off Uncharted 2's Gold Rush mode, which is kind of an interesting twist on the co-op mode that was put in the multiplayer beta earlier this year. You and your buddies... pardon me. You and your buddies go and fight waves of enemies, and there is a treasure in the map, and you have to cart the treasure from wherever you grab it from to a capture point. And you can obviously, climb up a ladder and have someone throw the idol to you, and then you can throw them the whip if this was an Indiana Jones game. But,
it's the next best thing.
Yeah. There's going to be it seems pretty ripe for some interesting co-op moments. So that looks pretty cool. Gears of War, the Dark Corners DLC was released, which contains a cut chapter from the original Gears of War 2 single player. And though I hear that it was cut for a very good reason, it's always nice to be able to go back in and rejoin Marcus and Dom and, look for Dom's wife.
Maria!
I know that I keep that photo of Dom and Maria in my wallet and pull it out every time that I need, a little bit of solidarity.
Hey, I thought it was touching. I thought it was touching.
It's cute. It's pretty cute. And I guess, even though I don't have the calendar in front of me, that this Thursday we're doing a co-op night for the All Fronts map. So check that out, I guess. I might be there. Jason might be there. Other people on staff might be there. I'm sure Nick will be there, because, if there's achievements involved, Nick will want to get in on that action. Treyarch has announced that Call of Duty World at War's Map Pack 3 will be released next month with a new Nazi Zombies map called Der Reis, which sounds like it's another actual Nazi zombie and not Japanese zombies or dog zombies. So
actually, the dog zombies are coming back.
Ah, well, look forward to that. Battleforge's first expansion was announced. It's called Renegade. It has two new races in the game, two new races, which are the armies that are made up of all the critters in the game. Orb types, and 120 new cards for you to collect. So if you enjoy Battleforge, I did. If you haven't checked it out, you know, you might want to check out our review where we talk about it.
Mike, that's yes? Since that went free to play, how is this expansion going to work with that? Are you going to have to pay for the expansion, or is it just more content?
I don't know, but what I am certain it did is it made it so that you can download the client and everything involved with that free to play. But if you want any of the new cards and stuff out of the expansion, you'll have to buy expansion packs or the booster packs for the expansions, which are, you know, randomized cards and whatnot. So I'll definitely be checking that out because Battleforge was actually surprisingly fun in co-op mode. And let's wrap up the news with a few things about Modern Warfare 2. They have announced that the Special Forces mode has as much content as the single player, which is good. It isn't going to make us happy because, you know, we wanted campaign co-op, but it's nice to know that the mode where you can co-op in is pretty meaty. And they announced the new cat helmet in the ongoing battle of Special Edition Supremacy. The Call of Duty, or Modern Warfare 2, as we like to refer to it as, Prestige Edition has been announced. It packs in the Special Edition of the game with probably a really crappy pair of night vision goggles that you can chase your cat around at night and scare him. And it, you know, it really seems to me like if you're going to have a Special Edition pack-in, you have to scare your cat or abuse your cat with it, because it, you know, you put the helmet on him, you chase him around with the night vision goggles, and you take photos. I don't know what else you'd want to do with this.
It comes with a life-size head of Soap McTavish to hang him on, and that's good for scaring just about anybody.
So, yeah, that's kind of creepy, actually.
I'm actually curious why it took them so long to come out with a pair of night vision goggles. You'd think the Splinter Cell, one of those games, would have a special edition with the, you know, three-eye, you know, you can run around and be that guy for all the special editions that they've got.
Yeah, well, you know, the Splinter Cell version, you know, it doesn't have to be the night vision goggles. What it needs to be is something that will something with three LEDs that will display the green lights in that pattern, and just kind of a noisemaker that will go pee as you turn it on, because, you know, that's pretty much all that Splinter Cell is that noise and shanking people in the dark.
Do you remember the movie trailer that they came out with for the special edition of Chaos Theory?
I honestly don't.
It was like a 30-second trailer that was supposed to be for the Peter Berg-directed film back when it was still in progress, and that's all it was that noise and the three lights and some Splinter Cell, and that was it.
Interesting. That's, you know, that's the iconic thing about that game, so it's not too surprising that they do that. I mean, when they announced Crackdown 2 at E3, they played the agility orb noise, you know, before making the announcement, and everybody knew what was coming as soon as they heard it. So
I just had this weird vision of someone, you could be wearing the Master Chief helmet with these new goggles with your Gears of War Lancer, you know, your real size, and it'd be like Silence of the Lambs, you know, but you're stalking your cat with all of that gear. I could see that. That's would Nick do this? He's probably got all that stuff anyway.
Nick would do what I like to refer to as the tuck.
Dot, 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 for all the listeners at home.
It doesn't involve a chicken suit, does it?
No. The chicken suit is something he came up with later.
I actually looked up some video reviews of those types of night vision goggles. The ones that are out on the market now are called Eyeclops. And they're just a series of LEDs that operate like a flashlight. And as far as that shines is, you know, what you can see in the lens. It's just a camera lens with a certain filter taken out. And according to all the reviews, if you have more than one person wearing them, then you each show up as like a flashlight beam to each other.
Oh, how weird.
Because you can see the LEDs from the other person's mask.
Yeah.
So other than just sneaking around your own house, terrorizing your cat, I don't think they'll serve much purpose other than looking good on your fake soap Metavish head.
Yeah, a buddy of mine has a cheaper pair of night vision, and you know it looks pretty cool and it works as advertised, but I can't imagine that that would be particularly useful in the long run. So you might be asking yourself why I brought three friends along on the podcast today when it's usually a two-man show, or you know, every now and then we bring a third on. We decided to have a little bit of a roundtable argument / discussion / you know, circle jerk about
philosophical debate.
Yeah, when does a game need co-op? And you know, a lot of people on our site you know, talk about games that need co-op. And I personally am of the opinion that, you know, just because you can put co-op in a game, it doesn't make it better. I don't think that tacked on or cheap co-op necessarily makes a game better. And I don't think games where you are, you know, intended to be exploring something in solitude would be any better with co-op. So it sparked a few imaginary conversations in my mind, and I thought that I would, you know, gather everybody around to, you know, weigh in on how they feel about this issue. So I think I will just have everybody go around the room once, and then we can, you know, maybe comment on everybody's opinion and hopefully not punch each other through the internet.
Really tough. I've been trying to, you know, hone that ability, but I get as far as breaking Mike's computer screen and, you know.
So I think I'm going to, you know, lead things off by saying that if your game is a shooter, and the word squad is uttered by any character in the entire game, it needs co-op.
I concur.
End of story.
If your game...
That's it, folks. Enjoy the podcast.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah. If your game is a beat-em-up in the, you know, old arcade or 16-bit style, you need co-op. I can't imagine playing Final Fight by myself being more fun than Final Fight with two people. You know, having the option to punch your buddy is always great.
Launch a rocket at them?
I think if you're playing a sports game that you need to be able to put multiple players on one team and play against the computer, I think that, you know, qualifies well enough as co-op. I don't, however, as I said before, think... survival horror really has a place with co-op unless you are in a setting that would make sense. Like Resident Evil 5 was a pretty good example of a game that would work well with co-op because it was very action-heavy in addition to the horror, whereas something like Dead Space I don't think would have worked well because, you know, despite there being other people with you, that game was all about being isolated from everyone and having to work your way back to people. And I don't, you know, a lot of people said, oh, Dead Space would have been so much better with co-op. And I don't think so. I really don't. And I also don't think that, you know, games like, say, Oblivion or Fallout need co-op because I have, you know, the joy in those games comes from, you know, taking your time and discovering things in the world. And, you know, having a buddy running around and just picking random stuff up or, you know, you'd have to, the amount of communication you'd have to do or the amount of waiting you'd have to do because, you know, in Oblivion, there's so many books lying around the world and, you know, every now and then I'll like to kick back and read one of them and some of them are like 60 pages long and I'll be there for 15 minutes reading a book. And my, you know, my co-op partner, if there was one, would just be, you know, sitting there, you know, hitting me in the head like, dude, come on.
I'd be turning into a chicken with a polymorph spell. That's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, exactly. So, those are, you know, those are kind of the things that went through my head when I was thinking about this. But, you know, let's move to Mark. Mark, what do you think a game that would need co-op would be, or, you know, what triggers that, man, this would be better with co-op idea in your head?
Well, with having kids, a lot of the games that we play are based on, you know, properties and, or cartoons or books or, you know, comics, things like this, movies. And, you know, there's some things that when you just hear the term, you think there's more than one person. You know, like the biggest example we had was the first Fantastic Four game for the first movie that came out a few years back. It had two-player co-op, but it's called Fantastic Four. And, you know, they, you know, granted it was okay, but...
Two's the magic number, Mark.
Yeah, I guess so, according to some, but yeah. Now, they fixed it for the second Fantastic Four game, but, you know, anytime you have a where there's a team or like that, it's kind of like what was Mike was saying about the squads, but I was thinking of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. The game that came out based on the latest, the movie, like the CGI movie that came out a few years ago, it was all single player. And that franchise is well known for co-op games anyway. And then to remove
exactly.
the single player was just, I mean, it was ridiculous. And I think, you know, another one was the Harry Potter series. There's only been one game that has co-op in it. And when you think of the series, granted Harry's the star, but Ron and Hermione are always right along with him. That and the co-op was done pretty well in that the one, I think it was the Prisoner of Azkaban, is the one that has the... or no, maybe it's the Goblet of Fire. But anyway, it was done pretty well. You know, and the Ghost, like the more recently, the Ghostbusters game, again, you think of all the guys on the squad, right? All the guys on the team, but we've only got single player. So I would say just when you have a, when you're basing your game on something that people associate with more than one person, I mean, it'd be like having a Three Musketeers game be solo. You just can't do that. There's sometimes where people are going to expect to be able to play multiplayer. On games like that.
And I'm just going to say, Mark, that for the Harry Potter games, I think we can all look forward to in Harry Potter 7 co-op camping adventure. So
that'll be so that'll be so cool.
I definitely think you hit the hammer on the head there, or the nail on the head, really. And you don't want to hit a hammer on someone's head.
No,
unless,
no, you don't.
Yeah. Anyway, games where, you know, like if you have a superhero team, you know, mm-hmm. you want to be able to work together. You know, like Marvel Ultimate Alliance did a really good job of this. You know, you have four dudes in your superhero team. Go to town.
Yeah, the one thing I didn't like about Spider-Man Web of Shadows was, granted, it was single player, but Spider-Man always, there was many times where he had an ally with him, or he'd go check in with an ally. And it was, you know, we really wanted to play with those guys too, you know. I mean, Spider-Man and Wolverine at the same time would have been a really fun time in there, but just wasn't included. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And Mark, since you mentioned Marvel Ultimate Alliance, I just want to take a second to do my best to dispel the myth that story alone isn't always a good reason to exclude co-op. Because kind of ironic thing about Marvel Ultimate Alliance is that the majority of the characters in that game are their own property, or you know, they have their own backgrounds. You don't generally see them together except in ensemble comics and cartoons. And yet, here we have one of the best co-op games with all of these, you know, characters that are really more befitting for single player.
Yeah, the thing about Ultimate Alliance is that, you know, when it boils down to it, there was really no plot in that game that was, you know, worth anything other than say, oh, there's all these superheroes need to fight this bad guy, and, you know, who cares that the bad guys are fighting themselves when you bring them in on your team.
So it's just like any other comic book series.
Yeah
pretty much. You know, but they use the fact that comic books tend to work that way to make an excuse to bring all these guys together, and it ended up working really well. Everybody can pick the superhero that they like best and just have fun.
Yeah, I don't think you see Thor and, like, say, Ghost Rider interacting much, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. So, Jim, let's just go on to what you think.
Oh, it's a tough question, because I know that our general rule before we started recording was every game needs co-op is not a valid answer. And that's almost kind of my default answer, but I guess it's not going to be that easy for me tonight. I think that one of the things that impressed me about some co-op games like Army of Two, and even before that, the last-gen version, the last-gen 007 game, Everything or Nothing, was that you could use your co-op partner as kind of a resource. And in those two games in particular, it was sharing ammo. Games where you can swap ammo, weapons, and I'd even go so far as to say on like Left 4 Dead, where your teammates can be actually a light source or something to that effect. When you can use a co-op partner as a resource in the game to help you, and I'd say it needs co-op.
Resident Evil 5 had a good example of that, where you're going through the dark cave, and one player, instead of shooting, had to pick up this flashlight and aim it for the other player.
There's a Final Fantasy game that's something like that, too. I can't remember which one it is. Seems like it's Crystal
Chronicles.
The less
Chronicles, spoken about Crystal Chronicles,
yeah.
The better.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, moving on.
Who's going to be the chalice holder in this group?
Yeah. Yeah. Who's going to carry the bucket? I think Mark is at this point.
Yay!
But yeah, you know, Jim's got it right. If something that you could springboard off of your co-op partner for something, like, you know, getting extra ammo or, you know, getting a leg up to take a jump for an alternate route that you wouldn't have normally been able to get. You know, if the design is made to allow for things like that, then co-op obviously makes sense.
If I can get just really goofy for a second, for the PlayStation 2 and I think Xbox also, there was the Starsky and Hutch game, which most people overlook. It was pretty horrible, in fact.
Do it.
One person could drive the Gran Torino through and do all the missions themselves. If they wanted to go co-op, then another person could pick up a controller or a light gun and shoot out the passenger side window. And there was, you know, different targets that you could hit and just different ways to meet the objectives. So just a good example, if a crappy game.
Yeah, I can imagine that a co-op hood slide would be pretty epic.
Up there with the co-op fist bump from Army of Two.
Yeah, the high five or the butt slap or, you know, anything like that. And let's go back to Jason.
So, listen, everyone, it's sort of, to me, what I hear basically, and this is my response anyways, is that a game needs co-op when it's designed for co-op. I mean, Mike brought up for Dead Space in terms of a survival horror and how that just wouldn't work. And I agree, because it was designed for a single player sort of experience. And, you know, I know Mike is well aware of this. The Dead Space that's coming out now, Extraction for the Wii, is designed for a co-op experience playthrough of the Dead Space, you know, setting and everything like that. And there's specific things that each player can do. Resident Evil 5, another game where they designed it with co-op in mind. Actually, you hear a lot of people complain that the single player suffered some because of that, which I think is interesting, and I have to agree with, because I played through with an AI partner, and frankly, I'm glad I turned off friendly fire, because my partner inevitably wound up shooting me in the back. Games like Fallout and Oblivion, again, those kind of open-world, Western-style RPGs, I mean, so much of the experience of those games is that you're by yourself, particularly in Fallout. Like, Fallout is just a barren, desolate landscape, and you're out there on your own trying to survive, and occasionally you run across people. And if I'm running along and I have Mike there saying, hey buddy, even if he's my companion dog meat, it still isn't going to be, you know, as fun as just being in that sort of world and experience. So, and then Jimmy also said the story as the reason for co-op, and you know, I think you're right about that too. I mean, you don't necessarily have to have a great story put together for co-op, but it just ultimately goes down to, if the game is designed with co-op in mind, whether it's squad-based or beat 'em up or sports or whatever, if it's designed somehow where co-op ties in, then your game should have co-op.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, springboarding back off of that and, you know, back around to what I said originally is, If your game is A, based on a property, as Mark said, or, you know, you're in a situation where you're with something where you have like a squad or any kind of team, you know, if the designers do not set out to make some sort of effort to put co-op into it, I don't think you're doing it right. You know, it's like, How would we appreciate Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter if there was no co-op? Like, that would be horrible. I mean, you've played the single player of that game. Your AI teammates are brain dead.
Yeah, well, just, or maybe if you played, like, what if the Lego games were single player? Because think how stupid the AI is if you're trying to play by yourself, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's such a hassle to play single player in those games, but when you play with two, it's much, much easier. Anytime a game has bad AI, a co-op has got to be included, yeah, to avoid those things.
Although I will say, I played through single player on the Lego, and I just had a bunch of fun where you could get in that certain position where you're all the way over on a screen and your partner is just, you know, slides into a pit, and they respawn, they fall back into that same pit, and you just kind of let that go for a while. Be like, yeah, that's the lesson. That's your lesson. Get smarter. Yeah.
That's like that achievement you can get in Portal where you open a portal on the ceiling and the floor and you just fall for 10 miles.
Wow.
Make your own fun.
Would it be in a perfect world for us co-optimers? It would almost be that a game should, well, developers should have a reason why not to put in co-op, because I guess, you know, story and technical limitations, their reasons these days, they just come off as excuses, because the majority of games could have or should have co-op in the eyes of most of the people we associate with, at least on our website. And I think that there are good reasons why not to implement co-op. I don't think there's a good reason just to leave it out of most games.
Well, I think part of the problem there is just of when the games get announced. I mean, and you know, Jimmy and I were talking about this on the side as well, is that when a game starts in its development phase, it's, you know, years in the making, and if at that time they're just like, hey, look, we're going to make a single-player game, this is our vision or something like that, and this is the reason why we're doing it, hey, that's entirely one thing, totally valid. But by the time that it's, you know, 3 months from it being released, and they're like, this game's coming out and it's not having co-op, then it feels like they're suddenly having to backtrack and go over those decisions that were made, you know, years in the past, that, if they, again, if they're just kind of upfront about it, they could have a good reason for doing so, but come off as excuses later on.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and not having co-op is, you know, obviously that decision is ultimately on the developers, but, you know, it adds other problems. Like, adding another player into a game that's playing locally is one thing, but, you know, if you have, say, online co-op, you have to make sure that there's no lag or it becomes unplayable, which means that if you were having just a straight single-player game, all of a sudden you have to allocate all these resources to making sure that, you know, you have stable multiplayer. And, you know, if you don't have a multiplayer team working on that, then that means you have to hire more people. It means your game gets more expensive. There are, you know, a lot of valid reasons why especially a smaller team might not be able to put co-op in a game. But, you know, I think, you know, those that do tend to, you know, see a lot more reward in the end.
What boggles my mind is that our generation has grown up with movies like, you know, Navy SEALs, Aliens, you know, movies like that where ensemble cast is, even if it's a small ensemble cast, is pretty much expected. These sci-fi and adventure and action movies, even the horror movies, you would think that with the technical capabilities that we have now that people would, you know, flock more to, well, for example, the Aliens game that's supposed to have four-player online co-op, and people are watching it like a hawk. It actually surprised me that Dead Space ended up being single-player only, just because the movie genre that preceded it, the inspirations that the developers cited were all ensembles.
Although one in particular, I mean, of those is The Thing, and that so much was about co-op of the fittest and whittling down the crew until you're down to, all right, who's going to live, Keith David or Kurt Russell? And it's a very tough question to answer.
Yeah, and you get something like, you know, obviously they looked at Event Horizon. It's like, you know, that's not a team of people, you know, working together. It's, you know, it's things like that are every man for themselves. But, I don't think that horror works in a co-op setting. I truly don't. I don't think you can scare somebody if you're with somebody else and you can inject levity when the game doesn't want you to, you know, have a wisecracking sidekick or anything. It just takes you out of it. And I really, and, you know, Dead Space comes up a lot on our forums and it boggles my mind, because I don't think that game I don't think the setting is appropriate for co-op. I don't think the game itself is appropriate for co-op. And, you know, what Jason said earlier is that, you know, the developer said, you know, co-op would be cool if we can do it right. So they set out to make a co-op game, and it looks pretty damn good. But that's not, you know, Extraction is not meant to be a horror game. It's much more of an action game. You know, there's still the puzzle solving, but, you know, you are with another person at all times. And it, you know, the game is built around that.
I'm not a big horror fan in movies nor games. I guess, to be fair, usually most of the side characters are just monster snacks anyway.
Right. Oh, and then there's the inevitable betrayal. So, you know, it's like, you know, spoilers, but you get down to the last two people in Dead Space and they turn on you. You know, how it's kind of like the end of Double Dragon where you're like, all right, we saved the girlfriend. Oh, that's my girlfriend. No, it's my girlfriend. And then you beat the crap out of each other. You know, that was funny in an old school kind of way, but nowadays I don't think that would fly.
Hey, you know, the Double Dragon port for the NES was single player. So, you know, what did they know
right
back then anyway, right?
I think we despite this little sidetrack, I think we generally kind of agree on what needs a co-op. So, everybody that listens to this, you know, post in our forums and, you know, let's hear what you have to say. I'm genuinely interested in seeing how wrong you are about Fallout 3.
We're going to get answers from all over the board because you have so many different fans of different genres on our website. The only reason that I even considered playing Left 4 Dead was because of four-player co-op. You know, and
same here.
It's good for introducing a game to somebody that normally wouldn't be interested to begin with. So maybe it doesn't need co-op, but we still want it.
Well, and I think the last thing I'm just going to say here is it all kind of depends on where it falls. I know there's a little bit of debate about, you know, if something like RTS is, and the way that they have multiplayer modes and those that include co-op is true co-op. But, you know, you can still have fun with those kinds of things. I mean, getting together with friends and beating up on a couple of computer opponents is a lot of fun, and it's something that's been true for at least PC gamers for quite some time with a lot of those. I mean, I was thinking back to Warcraft 2, and Mike and I used to get on there with two of our friends and just get together on one of the 8x8 maps and take on the computers together, and that was a ton of fun to do as co-op. No story, no nothing. It was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I lived with a couple guys after I moved out, and we had our computers all networked together, and we played StarCraft like crazy, and the three-for-alls got really, really over the top, and, we get mad. You know how it is when you're playing multiplayer against people locally. That's just bad.
Yeah.
And when we switched to where we were playing against the computer opponents, I mean, I know it sounds stupid, but it's like it didn't bother me when they'd leave a glass in the sink for a day or two. You know, it just was better. It made it an easier experience. I don't know where I was going with that, but there it is anyway.
Well, anyway.
Cut that out.
It's like we've said on the site before. Everyone has a little bit of a different opinion on what actually co-op is to them. And that is, unfortunately, a topic for another day, because we are going to wrap this one up. So let's talk about upcoming co-op releases. You know, we're still in the dregs of summer, so we don't have too much coming out. But on August 1st, we have Serious Sam HD.
Yes.
And Obscure the Aftermath for the Wii, PS2, and PC. And that's about it.
There's a survival horror game for you, Jim.
Yeah, not a very good one from what I've heard. But anyway.
Only those three consoles, that's rough.
Yeah. Well, it's already been, I'm pretty sure that it had already been released on other consoles before. It may be, I'm not sure. Or maybe it's just a Wii version and our database is screwy. I don't know. Any case, Obscure the Aftermath for some system. You always have a co-op partner in it, and someone can pop in and out, so I'm sure someone will enjoy it. We have a ton of great features around Co-Optimus right now. We've been especially busy with co-op reviews. We just pulled up Super Stardust HD, Gunstar Heroes, Star Trek DAC, Madballs in Babo Invasion, and Kung Fu Panda. We haven't had too much on the editorial front lately, though, but Jim posted a Battlefield report on the Battlefield series, so, you know, please check that out, post in the thread, and tell him how much you love him. You know, if you listen to this podcast on, say, something like iTunes, please leave feedback. We really love your input, especially the five-star kind, as Nick would say. Follow us on Twitter at Co-Optimus without the dash. Nick's on vacation right now, but when he comes back, I'm sure he'll do something interesting with it. So for Jim, Mark, Jason, and myself, this has been the Co-Opticast, and we will see you in a fortnight.